It's been a minute.
Yeah, I was trying to think how we even used to start.
January was the last episode.
Like how we used to start the episodes.
Oh, we would always welcome back and then like sing the song. And
yeah, I remember the singing.
Untethered Minds.
Yeah. Well, welcome back.
Welcome back.
It's been nearly a year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We had to retool a little bit.
A lot of it.
What's happened in the last 11 months?
I think our lives have like... there's not a single aspect of our lives that's the same.
Yeah.
I dare to say.
Literally everything has changed.
Talk about a 180.
On like every front.
Yeah. 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 And we thought it was funny because we disappeared for a while last year. And then we're like, we're back. And then we disappeared.
We did like one episode. We're like, we're back.
So let me. Okay. So last time we did an episode was the JFK stuff.
No. The last one we did was the Tesla bombing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
JFK was before that.
Yeah. Yeah. We got really heavy into the election.
Yeah. Sorry.
Which we, yeah, we have thoughts about that now. I don't know. Where do we even begin on the, like, the last year? Because there's a lot to talk about.
Well, so our whole thing has always been to be truth seekers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want to seek truth. We want to expose the evils of the world and, you know, shed some light on some things.
Untether our minds from the narratives.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Being served to us.
From the brainwashing. Yeah. Right. So we realized during this time away that the ultimate truth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, that's kind of how we're going to view everything going forward is through a theological lens.
Yeah.
We'll still talk about, you know, current events and society and everything else, but it's all going to be like, how it relates to the Bible. And the Bible is a wild book. Like, I mean, it really is. Like, so, you know, just, you know, I'm sure I share a similar background with a lot of people growing up and going to church and stuff. And like, you follow the religion, mm-hmm. not necessarily the connection with God, mm-hmm. or at least that's my personal experience. And I'm sure there's plenty of other people out there that kind of the same thing. Even going to seminary as a teenager, like I knew a lot, but did I like really understand?
Well, and you know? And I think there's something about growing up and going through life's many ups and downs, and that at some point you get to a place where you're like, okay, the only thing that can make my life better is God and God alone.
Right.
But like, you have to go through a lot. And when you're such a young kid, like, you're following it because it's sweet and fun. And like, our daughter loves it. We've been taking her to church and getting really into the Bible and like, loves it. And we're so glad she's creating her identity around Christ now. But it is different than once you're older and you like have a real relationship through.
Well, the understanding comes through trials and error.
Right. Right. So that's
lessons learned the hard way
every day. So that's changed a lot of our life. Tavis is now full-time working our media company, Untethered Minds Media, Media.
Yeah, started a different branch of it,
but took it into a
same umbrella company,
a real content production powerhouse over there. He does drones now. I'm just self-advertising for you because I'm your wife. But he is now probably going to be our primary editor because he's better at editing than me. Like, again, a lot has changed in the last
at this point,
10-11 months.
Man, I had no clue how to edit anything.
No, he was in the CapCut pits of hell before
TikTok. trying to edit on there.
Yeah, and now he's fully working the big boy programs and doing it for clients. So just so proud of him. This was like literally the only time in our lives I think we would be able to have taken this step.
Yeah.
It was a big one. It was a big one. As you can imagine, we've been trying to like...
You know, having a retirement plan you can dip into helped a little bit.
But again, God sets everything up for a reason. Right. He always provides. And like, we have not seen that more than we have in the last 5-6 months that we've had to change our lives so dramatically. But yeah, I guess to pivot onto the political stuff, just because I feel like...
So, okay, so... Ashley
like,
and I have, okay, so Ashley and I have had this conversation after, you know, we kind of went dormant for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, dormant.
Yeah, we were like, how easy would it be to say that we were industry plants?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like, okay, we come out hard and heavy with the conspiracy stuff, yeah. Make you like gain our trust and all that stuff. And then the election happens and then we're like gung ho Trump,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then we disappear.
Yep. Like, you would think we were paid $7,000 by a certain party. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But this time away, and this last year has definitely proven to us, and this is where our pivot comes from in the political standpoint, is you can't trust anything except for the Lord.
Yep.
So, you know, who we're all gung ho for has done a lot of questionable things with a foreign adversary.
It's like, it's painful. And we talk about like, where do we lie on the spectrum of politics anymore? And like, mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, I think it was so incredibly important that we backed the person we backed in this last election,
yeah.
And that we voted the way we did and that the outcome was for what it was, because both parties, evil, you know, like it's no surprise at this point, but it's the lesser of the
but
two
at least
evils,
this
right?
Party isn't pushing transgenderism
exactly.
And all that other
exactly
wokeness.
Economy's still in the trash. The whole like Israel, I don't even know if I can say that word anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at. The foreign war stuff is just out of control. Yeah.
I'm going to end all wars. Let's bomb Iran.
Oh, my gosh. I have lots of critiques, which we said we would. We would be honest about it all. And, I would go back and vote for him every time that I have, because I'd rather be on the side that does have some morals and values over the side that says kill your baby.
First of all, I would never vote left.
No.
But
you could not hold me to a fire.
But I don't know if I would have voted for him this last time, knowing what I know now.
Yeah.
I probably would have just voted for myself like I was doing before he ran in 2016.
But imagine a world where Kamala won.
Yeah, way worse. But
I will do whatever it takes to keep her
out. But honestly, I mean, let's be real. She never had a chance of winning.
No.
It was all staged and set up for Trump to win.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, I started to think, is the shooting real? Well, so then...
I'm neither here nor there on that.
Yeah.
I haven't dove deep enough into that one. I did in the beginning to know that it was an inside job 100%. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But was it a stage job or was it a real inside job?
Yeah.
You know? I do believe, though, that they wanted the election to be between Kamala and what's her name? Who was the one that didn't drop out until
Sanders? Sarah Huckabee? No. Whatever. Oh, what was her name?
Yeah.
The one in the Midwest.
Yeah. Whoever she was.
Can't think of her name. She was awful, though.
Yeah, she sucked. Yeah.
Forget not worth remembering her name, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. It was really, really bad. We've always said we're Christians, right? But, like, have we ever lived up to that namesake?
Yeah.
No.
Well, and that's... not I've always recent. Had my faith.
Yeah.
And I've always had my relationship with God. But, I mean, being around, like, really godly Christian people, man, that made me feel like a
so
horrible
intimidating.
Person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we weren't living a Christ-like life or trying to follow in his footsteps at all. And, like, now...
just calling ourselves Christians.
Right. Very lukewarm, I would say. Yeah. And I don't even know if I like that term. But Charlie Kirk died.
Yeah, rocked us to our core.
And that changed everything. Like, something... broke inside us, I think, and like had to be put back together by the love of God and God alone. We have come a long way, and we don't want to scare anybody with the Christianity of all this.
No.
But
it is what it is.
It is. It is. And it's just speaking truth, which is what we're going to be heavily focusing on this episode. Yeah. But we hope that as we kind of peel back culturally what's going on through the lens of the Bible, through the lens of, you know, our Savior Jesus Christ, like that you'll take that walk with us, even if you are unsure of it all, if you don't believe, you know, if you have any kind of curiosity, like stay with us,
ask
questions.
Questions.
Yeah, yeah, we would love to have discussions, like, and we don't know everything.
No,
we are not perfect, by any means, but we are constantly reading and trying to be introspective about it all and understand it in a different degree. So
yeah,
we invite you to just keep your ears open and see, and we're open to the challenge of it all. But yeah, I think it's important. I think it's really important that we lend our voices to this.
Well, especially in these times.
Yeah. Right?
You know, what's my political view? Revelations.
Honestly, the end times are real, man.
There's so many things that are coming true right now that were prophesized.
I know.
It's wild. But for this specific episode, we're going to be talking about the difference between truth and noise.
Mm-hmm.
Discernment is such an incredibly powerful tool. And unfortunately, nowadays, because we are constantly thrown with information, misinformation, the rise of AI the way it is now,
yeah,
like the bunnies jumping on the trampoline, that went on for like a month before people figured out it was fake. You know, like,
that's wild.
That's what I mean. Yeah. There's so many things out there that it's to distort reality, it's to right, distort the truth. I've said it before and I'll say it again a million times more. The Mandela effect is a psyop.
Yes.
It's 100% yes, a psyop to get people to question their reality. Absolutely. Fruit of a Loom themselves came out and said they never had a cornucopia. That's a bull-faced
lie.
But
then people have found it online to exist. It's a bull-faced lie.
Well, yeah, they scrubbed the internet as much as they can, but yeah, some people still have people like have old vaults, t-shirts and old things.
Bears, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That still have the stuff mm-hmm, that was the way it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, I don't believe in this alternate universe, because then that takes away from exactly, our importance and why we were created. You know, I don't believe in aliens. Mm-hmm. I do believe in beings from other dimensions, mm-hmm, from the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm,
but not from other planets. No. Because if there's other planets, other life out there, then that completely goes against the first page of the Bible,
yeah,
let alone the first book, the yeah, first page of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, God created the heavens
first,
and the earth.
Three sentences?
Yeah, God created the heavens and the earth specifically for us.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning, that's the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. Truth has to be absolute, and show me a single person that has proven things wrong in the Bible and we'll have a discussion with them.
And I mean, talk about all the scientists and things who are yeah, full gung-ho on the Bible yeah, is truth.
Right. Well, a big major misconception is the Old Testament and the New Testament coexist.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament completely negates the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Because it's the New Covenant.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so, yes, the Old Testament is valuable for the knowledge and knowing like where we came from and how mm-hmm, everything kind of came to be and
stories,
the different storylines, mm-hmm, bloodlines, all that stuff. But the New Testament is, you know, what we're supposed to live by.
It's Jesus. He's right, the truth, the way, the life. Like, that's literally right, what it is. It's his teachings, because he's teaching from the right, Old Testament, right?
Right?
He's teaching from his father. He's right, teaching from,
but he's embodying teachings, it and completing it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Fulfilling and it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Gives you the goosebumps, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I think for a long time we were just so focused on like, hey, this thing is happening because they're trying to distract you from this thing.
Expose the evil.
Right. Right. But in reality, like, all of
it's
that
all
stuff, both sides of the aisle, is just meant to distract us from the one true truth,
right,
which is God
mm-hmm,
and Jesus and the mm-hmm, Bible. And, you know, I think it's so much bigger than most people understand. And mm-hmm, yeah, I've just, our life has gotten so much better,
yeah,
so much clearer. We're so much happier. There's so much life. I mean, so many things that we have prayed on have happened.
Especially just in the last 3 months. It's so wild.
Yeah. So if we can be a testament to anybody yeah, that life gets better when you give your life over, that's
give
what we
will
be.
Give up your stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put yeah, it in God's hands.
Yeah.
Because right now, look, looks like World War III, Agenda 2030, all that stuff's going to happen right around the corner. Yeah, sure, whatever, I don't care.
Right. In fact, when it's my time, whenever that may be, please send me home.
Right.
You know,
right,
like, I'm not...
It's the worst thing that can happen.
I'm not afraid of going home to Jesus. Life changes when you just stop caring about all the right, left, They're all snakes. They all suck. Yeah. Let's be real.
I'm just wondering if it's going to be a beheading or not, you know?
I know. Are we getting raptured or are we not? It's the real question of it all. So, anyways, why don't we jump into stuff? Is there anything else?
No. I think that was a good 16-minute intro.
To start, I wanted to reference something that we heard in church today, and like, don't stop listening if you're not churchgoers. This is not scary, I promise. The guest pastor we had's name was Mark Matlock, and the funniest thing about like all of this was that today's sermon like spoke to Tavis in a really interesting way, and like,
so it was stats and logistics.
Yeah. The funniest thing was, and again, the timing of all this I think is just like proving God's existence and his presence in our lives. He had a conversation with a friend of ours yesterday.
Yeah, which, one of those ones that makes me feel really guilty that I'm not living
such a Christ-like man. Yeah. And Tavis was having a conversation about his, you know, faith yesterday, and I think you probably felt a lot better talking to him this time than you had in the past.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like you're living that reality now. Well, he was
head over the hill, you know, for head over the moon.
Over heels.
Head over heels, whatever. He was ecstatic.
Or over the moon, yeah.
He was ecstatic to kind of see my transformation in just the last 6-7 months since he's seen me.
Yeah.
You know, but I was telling him last night that, you know, we found a church that we really like going to. And for me, the problem with finding a church has always been Hebrews 5:11-14 mm-hmm. basically says, you know, at this point, you should be on meat, but you're still on milk.
This is Hebrews 5.
11-14.
12, yeah. So 11 is, there's so much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, so a lot of churches offer milk.
Yeah.
And I get it, you know, they can't scare off newcomers that are completely new to it. And
I think there's somebody new every week. Curious
and all that stuff, right? Right.
Yeah.
But for me, with someone that has my background, have lived the prodigal son story, mm-hmm. you know, made my way back, I need a big juicy steak of theology to sink my teeth into.
Big old ribeye.
And the church we've been going to hasn't necessarily given me steaks, but definitely given me burgers. You know, like
some hearty burgers.
Right. You know, something I can still sink my teeth into. Yeah. I'm still hungry for more.
Right.
But like, it's substance.
It's like as far as I think you're going to get with a church. Regular service on right. Sundays.
Right.
You need a Bible study or a challenger, you know?
Yep. I'm going to one tomorrow.
You are. He's going to a Bible study tomorrow.
The guest pastor today basically spoke my language. And that's what's crazy is when I was talking to our friend yesterday is I was basically saying every service has spoken to you directly with mm-hmm. something that's going on with our lives from week to week to week.
Yeah,
it's like weird. It's almost like it's tailored to you.
Yeah.
And which is fine.
Well, I think I've needed it.
Right. Well, which is fine in the sense that for me, like I'm still getting substance. It's not quite what I wanted.
It's deep, yeah.
But today was like all logistical stats. Yeah. Here are the facts.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. With my conspiracy mind and everything else, like give me the stats.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And so it's just funny that I was having that conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
About not having a sermon that spoke directly to me the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it happened today. So I get the message. Mm-hmm. The Lord's listening.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just been so many things that have come through.
Yeah.
So like the Charlie Kirk thing.
Yeah.
You know, in a moment of weakness and rage, I basically took to internet and I was like, all right, liberals, you got it coming. And that was like... That was after he got shot before he was pronounced
literally
dead.
That afternoon, yeah.
And then did another video basically like prayed on it, you know, like yeah. this isn't the time for that and all that. But while I was driving around that afternoon, a white dove flew in front of my truck. Mm-hmm. Like, we live in Arizona, there's doves and, you know, white doves and stuff, but like, it's not that common no. for a white dove to fly in front of you out no. here. And so it's just God speaks to you. You just got to accept it.
Gotta listen. Yeah. Well, and that's what our whole service was about today. It was called Faith for the Curious. He's written a book, if you're interested, by Mark Matlock. But he was talking about just how many people out in the world, or the U.S. specifically, are curious about spirituality. Yeah. He said 74% of U.S. adults would like to grow spiritually. 67% of the unchurched, so people who don't regularly attend church, are curious. There are some who are spiritually curious, and then others that are curiously skeptic, right? So whether they're like skeptical of the whole thing or not, they're still curious about faith and how it right. works, why it works. Because like, even if you don't believe in God, a lot of people believe in
something,
tarot cards and
yeah, something more than
psychic physical or realm. Other religions. Yeah, right. There's something out there, and so like they're keeping the door halfway open.
Well, so
for some kind of spirituality.
Wasn't he saying only like 10% of the population are actual like atheists?
10%. Yep. 10% are atheists. They call them naturalists. 17% are low curiosity. 20% are practicing Christians. 12% are curious skeptics. 14% spiritually curious. And then 28% are like the medium curiosity. So like, I feel like we would have been medium curiosity up until now. We're like right. practicing. He also brought up that 50% of unchurched people think that they'll be judged for how they live. So they believe that they have a spiritual backstory.
Yeah, some sort of afterlife or reincarnation, yeah. something like that.
Right. So they believe they will, you know, be held accountable at the end of it all. He said that everybody has a God-shaped hole in their soul. And it's just about how much that you fill it now, how much that hole aches for more. Put a big old Jesus cork in it. Yeah, a big old Jesus cork. But I truly think that as you grow in your faith, that hole does get filled and like mm-hmm. you become a better person. You become happier yeah. with yourself. I mean,
yeah,
I'm in like my most natural form I've ever been, you know, and yeah. I just feel good about yeah. myself.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel bad about myself.
There's still room to grow.
Well, so but... mine is just the spiritual calling of it all. Like, there's so much that I need to change about, mm-hmm. you know, my even just everyday actions and stuff to live a better life. And with that, I kind of have a lot of guilt, and I almost feel like I'll be at that point where I'm always going to have that guilt. Like, I feel like I need to do more. I feel mm-hmm. like I need to do more. I feel like yeah. I need to do more.
Well, it's unlearning things that you've yeah. done, like, your entire life.
Yeah, I'm 40.
Yeah.
And I've been one
your
of
condition,
the...
condition, man.
I've been one of the biggest crap talkers out yeah. there for so long.
Cynical about certain things. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, truly.
You know?
Well, and it's like, I've even really had my own struggles with like, stop saying how tired I am all the time. You know, yeah. I feel that I found myself saying how exhausted I am. This is so tiring. And then I heard that somebody said, God can hear your thoughts, right? But while the devil can't hear your thoughts, he can hear what you're saying. So if he's constantly hearing you say, I'm exhausted, I'm beat down, I'm a failure,
he's winning.
He's going to keep yeah. putting things in your way that make you feel that way because he knows that's how you feel. And he's going to prey on that. So, like, if you can just completely change your actions.
P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y.
Yeah, yeah. If you can just find a way to start slowly changing your habits and the things that don't serve you, it's mm-hmm. going to take a while, but every day you can get a little closer. There's some more Jesus talk for you.
Yep.
It is honestly a very comforting thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so... we welcome it. We're in the process of getting my parents to go to church with us, too. We want everyone to be in heaven. Let's make heaven crowded, right?
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to start with a question to launch us into this next
42
little section. Okay, that's the end of the podcast, everyone. I can't work with him anymore. Okay, Sirius.
XM.
Do you see, guys, what I have to work with? I'm trying to be a professional here. Okay. Don't give me an answer before the question. When was the last time you just sat with no sound, no screen, and no music?
Today, when I was praying.
For how long, approximately?
A couple minutes.
Okay. Okay. I would say my only time is like if I go in the shower without my phone.
But like my whole job now is online and social media.
I know, but see, that's the thing, is that we are like the fact that a lot of people can't even tell you.
It's a necessary evil.
It is. And
it's basically the beast system without officially being the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then we wonder why everybody has ADHD, why so many people are anxious, why so many people are depressed.
Yeah, it's constant.
Because we're constantly on our phones seeing news about this and news about that, and all these people are getting slaughtered here, and there's a war here, and these bombs are about,
the week of the whole Charlie Kirk thing. Like, we saw that girl get stabbed on the bus, and then a few days later,
Charlie happened. Violently.
So, like, back to back, just rock you to your core.
Yeah. And the thing is about it that, like, I think makes God so sad for us is, like, we were never supposed to be exposed to so much tragedy.
No.
And, like, I just went
through... We're not supposed to know about everything going on in the world.
No, because it's so heartbreaking and horrible. And, like, how are we supposed to hold that? And, like, we can't help with so much of it.
You know, as much as I disagree with a lot of liberals, and especially, like, Gen Z liberals and stuff like that, like, I understand the bleeding heart aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you're concerned about things going on halfway around the world so much that, like, you're taking to the streets and protesting and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. When, man, our government's been screwing us over for decades upon decades upon decades upon decades.
Right.
And so, like, you know, all the people during when the Russia-Ukraine thing really picked up, and they're like, we have to support Ukraine. Like, regular people, not politicians. Yeah. What about our homeless?
Yeah.
Like, what that about 80 million or whatever that they sent to Ukraine would have ended homeless here in the United States, like, four times over.
Veteran care.
Yeah.
I mean, even just, like, most recently with the whole, like, EBT SNAP thing, which, let's talk about that for a second. It was the Democrat, and this is so dark, too, because they're willing to do this to us. And, like, do I agree that everybody on those benefits should be? No. But I know that there are families out there who truly need that. And, like, the issue with all of this was that we had elections coming up, right? And allegedly, I'm going to say that. The Democrats would not, and I'm not pointing fingers, but this is just what's happening. The Democrats would not let something go through or whatever that caused them to shut down the government, right?
Right.
Then the elections happened, and look at all the seats that Democrats picked up. And guess what? They're talking about opening the government again.
Well, they wanted to give like something like $150 million or $1 billion towards illegal immigration.
But the other part of that too, now that I'm remembering, is that it would end certain subsidies from Obamacare. Subsidies that were putting a ton of money into insurance companies' pockets. Mm-hmm. So as soon as those subsidies end, insurance companies are out a lot of money. And they've had these deals with the government for so long, allegedly, where they're getting kickbacks. So, like, Obamacare, which was never affordable, it never worked. If it ends, let's just say healthcare has never been affordable in this country for a reason.
Mine tripled when it came through.
Yeah. So they were using the American people and their scarcity for food to push an agenda through an election.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, we might open the government up again. I saw that some people were getting SNAP benefits back. That may have been a lie. But, like, they're just doing it to outrage us, to go and vote for them, to then further the agenda and, like...
Almost like, what's his name in New York? He's like, don't send me money. And as soon as he's in, you can send me money again.
That's just the thing.
He's like, if you want everything for free, it's going to cost everything you have.
Yeah. Like, what? Just say you're a communist without saying
it. Well, then he ran on the Muslim aspect. And he's like, Jewish. And he's Jewish.
Yep. But again,
what an insane world we live in.
Yep. And this is, again, the noise that is keeping us away from God.
Yep.
You know, we live in a generation where every second we're bombarded with content, opinions, breaking news. And like, while most people are hearing everything, at the end of it, like, they're not hearing anything.
Right.
There's nothing good that they're hearing out of that besides fear.
And for every video out there that's like, I lost my SNAP benefits and I can't afford to feed my family, there's another video out there of some person that's complaining about losing their SNAP benefits while they're sitting on a beach on vacation.
Right. Yeah.
When's
the last time we got to take a vacation with just cash and out of our pockets? Right. Like, were we not Klarnaing our Airbnb for our freaking honeymoon 5 months ago? Like, that's just the reality. And we go to work every single day. Work our butts off. Have for forever. So, God.
Well, and before I started doing the content thing, I was working 50 hours a week.
Yeah.
And so working 50 hours a week, you don't have time to go on vacation.
No.
You just don't.
No. And if you get sick, then you got to use that time for PTO. Right. It's just, it's such a rat race that we're trying to break out of right now. But like, I think the biggest problem is that we scroll for stimulation instead of transformation.
Yeah, it's the dopamine of it.
Yeah, yeah. We've just gotten so used to that doom scroll where we're just going and going. And even like when they're funny videos, like, I get that it's decompression, but like, what is that doing for your brain? Other than just making little neurons shoot around, you know? Yeah. Unless you have a feed that's strictly like dogs and rainbows and farm animals, like
happy things.
I just don't know. And they don't let God's you do
rainbow,
that.
Not the gay rainbow.
Yeah. They don't let you have that though. And it's all designed for a reason because they're trying to move us away from our creator and into a world of darkness where the devil thrives. This is purgatory.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Clip that one, Tav.
I will.
There is a lot to be said about the overstimulation of it all, but like, even good voices, I mean, you can follow a ton of like different Christian influencers and things, like even the good voices sometimes can drown out what we're really supposed to be hearing from Jesus.
Well, that's intentional. So I've always said that the world belongs to the devil, right? Not even Jesus refuted that fact when the devil approached him and offered him all the kings and kingdoms of the world. He didn't say it wasn't his to give. And so, like, the devil is the prince of earth. Yep. Like, this is his domain.
Yep.
And so, would it not make sense that, first of all, a little sidebar, Christianity is the only religion that's openly attacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't say anything about Islam. You can't say anything about Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or anything like that. But man, you are allowed to talk about Christianity as much as you want.
They're killing Christians.
And a lot of people blur.
By the hundreds in
Africa. A lot of people blur Catholics and Christians. And technically, it's based on Christian beliefs, but Catholicism and Christianity are two completely different things.
Practiced very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And that's not like to denote any Catholics and whatnot, because I would much rather you have a relationship with God than not at all.
Right.
But it is different. It's just what you're,
right,
what you believe, and it is what it is.
But with that sidebar, the fact that you can only attack Christianity, would it not make sense? So obviously, I mean, common sense would tell you that then it has to be the only true answer.
Mm-hmm.
If everything else is allowed to be spread, but this is the one thing that's not allowed to, well, why would the devil be afraid of something he created?
Yep.
That's the other world religions.
Yeah.
Right? And so with that aspect, with that mindset, would it not make sense that the devil would put evil people in places of worship to push people away from church?
So
like when we were, when I was going gung-ho against the trans community, right? Like, you're all brainwashed, you're mutilating your bodies, you're spay and neutering yourselves, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
If that's your true self, why do you have to change everything about yourself? Like,
so many.
They would always, their one and only comeback for like 99.9% of them, every once in a while I'd get one that actually would want to have the intellectual conversation. But the vast majority of them would be, well, no, drag queens are molesting children. That's priests. That's your people. Well, first of all, that's false because there's tons of rap sheets of drag queens molesting children. So wherever you're getting your news, which I'm assuming it's like NPR, but
if even RuPaul,
but right, but it would make sense that the devil would put evil people in places of worship like that to push you away from Christ, right? Because that is the one thing that he can't defeat, that he is afraid of, right? Look at every single demon that's listed in the Bible with interacting with people that are either working through God or through Jesus or Jesus himself. They all tremble at his name.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
They're cast out immediately. Right.
And so with that concept, like, you have to kind of believe that this is the only truthful thing.
And that's only one fact of it all.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you get into the prophecies of it all that are playing out and in real time. And you look
at the way that, like, the Bible is written by a number of different authors. Correct. But the fact that they're... experiences, there's this incredible graphic that shows how many times all the stories of different people written in different times, like over I can't think of the word,
overlap
there we go, it's like something like 64,000 times, 40,000 times, something
like 6400
that.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, do not quote me on this at all. I'll have to find it and put it up on our Instas or something. Just to see how many times it overlaps, like, there's no way that that many people can be talking about the same thing from different parts of the world at different times.
In different languages.
Yes, if it's not true. I mean, that would be the biggest conspiracy of all time, the biggest psyop of all time.
Right.
And they didn't have technology.
Well, and then why did every single one of the apostles die for claiming to see Jesus resurrect?
Yep.
Like, you don't die for something you don't
believe. Peter's upside down crucifixion alone, like, the way that he was put in that prison for so long, him and Luke too, isn't it? Yeah. Just horrendous.
Everything from God is a gift, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Right? The goods are obviously blessings, you know, but the bad's also a blessing.
Yeah.
If you choose to allow it to be, it'll either make you tougher, it'll make you stronger, you know, so like Peter and Paul thrown into a whole dungeon. Right.
A literal hole.
Well, like literal, it was a dungeon inside of a hole. But then they had the opportunity to preach to the prisoners that were in there.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it sucks because then they were obviously crucified afterwards and stuff.
But they baptized two of the guards. Right. I mean, crazy stuff. And so when we talk about, you know, a lot of Christian influencers or podcasts and things really add to this noise and, like, create this really, like, loud opinion. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. Like, we will always point you towards your Bible. We will always point you towards the Word of God, Jesus, because this is just us interpreting and hoping to, like, bring you along that walk with us.
Makes sense of it all.
Yeah. Because, like I said, when you do have that relationship, it changes your life. And I want that for each and every one of you listening, if you're not already living that truth. So we're going to refer out to Elijah, which is in Kings 19:11 through 12. Let me just open this up real quick here and actually read from the word. This is 1 Kings 19:11 through 12. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And so that's just telling us that there can be loud voices, right? You can hear
loud events.
Yeah, you can hear all this stuff, whether it be good or bad. But, like, at the end of the day, like, sometimes you've got to turn that noise down and just listen to what God's telling you. Because sometimes it's a whisper. Yeah. And he's not always going to be shouting at us, like, stop doing this, go do this instead. He's requiring us to turn down the rest of the world, the outside noise, so that we can finally listen to what he's telling us.
And that's essentially what we've been doing in this hiatus.
Finding peace. Yeah. Finding peace.
Yeah, tuning in.
So, do you think that we, as, you know, human beings, have lost the ability to hear the whisper because we've turned the volume up on everything else?
I don't think we've lost the ability. I think the ability is still there. It's just, where is your focus?
The willingness.
Yeah, where's your focus? Yeah. Where's your willingness?
Because it gets comfortable to sit in all the dark.
It does, you know, and especially when it becomes routine and it's all you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of difficult to switch that up.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, you're like, I feel great. And I'm like, I feel like crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely do feel like both of us got that God glow going on right now, mm-hmm. right? Just living better, yeah. living happier, you know, enjoying the actual stuff that matters, like time with family, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But for me, it's, I'm going to constantly feel like I need to be doing more. And
That's okay.
I get it. There's that line basically saying that, you know, we are not saved by our own doings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no tally sheet because there's no boasting in heaven, right? Oh, I did this and you didn't. Yeah. Da-da-da. We are all saved by the grace of God.
Period. Right? End of statement.
That's, I mean, granted, you have to try to live your life Christ-like and everything else. And like,
believe.
Live with the Spirit in you, right? As opposed to, yeah, I believe in God and then, you know.
Yeah.
Go do some blow with Hunter Biden. And
Right.
So, but yeah, I definitely think that everyone has the ability. It's just tuning it out. And here's the thing.
Knowing you have that ability.
And not everyone calls it prayer. Some people call it meditation.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't even realize that they're talking to the ultimate, you know, supreme being. They just feel like they're talking to the universe or whatever. And so, and that's kind of what we mean on the spiritual aspect. Being open to spirituality is like the first step in walking with Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Because we all know, or at least we all feel, there's way more than this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. One way or the other. There's some sort of supernatural that is a part of this world.
Yeah.
You know, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, and the biggest, I think the biggest argument that people have, you know, if God exists, then, you know, why do children get cancer and, you know, all these horrible things happen? And the answer is simple. I mean, it's not a good, easy answer, but it's simple. It's the further we drift from God, the more chaos the world spins into.
Whether there's light, there's dark in this instance, you know, like there's always going to be something bad.
Look how Christian the country was back in the 50s and kind of where it is now. Like 20% are active Christians going to church.
Yeah.
64% of the country claims to be Christian, but if only 20% are going, then that means 44% aren't practicing in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that lukewarm aspect.
Right.
And this is where we just came out of.
Yeah. No judgment at all.
You know?
Because some people don't know where to start, you know, or they're like ashamed.
We didn't. And my whole thing was, I've been, it's kind of like what was talking about earlier in the service today, is the disillusion of institutions. For me, the longest time, I didn't like church.
Yeah.
And it's either it was too watered down information or it felt fake.
Yeah.
It felt like everyone was putting on a show and it didn't feel genuine. I like where we're going now.
Yeah.
You know, but, and that was kind of my concern when we went the first time.
Yep.
And I looked you dead in your eyes and like, you're going to love it.
I did.
I said, you're going to love church.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did because still going.
But I'm glad I pushed us to get us there.
Yeah. Well, kind of Charlie did.
Well, yeah. That would really spurred it on. But then I was like, I found a place and we're going to go.
Yeah.
He's like, really? Yes. Do we know anything about this church? Nope, we're going.
Yeah. But it's good.
I think our pastor has a very genuine heart.
Yeah.
Truly. And he speaks like a person.
Yeah.
Not like he's holier than thou, which is really nice.
We had a guest pastor a couple weeks ago and the message was good, but like, I felt preached at.
It was loud.
You know?
It was like, can you turn his mic down just like a little bit?
It was the prodigal son story.
Yeah, which you hear a couple times over.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I've lived it a few times over.
So then I guess another thing that like, I feel like we especially did, and like so many people do, and again, no judgment if this is you, but There is such an information overload, and yet there's a deficit in discernment.
Yeah.
Because how much can you know, but not realize, like, if it's not real or if it's not something you should be playing into?
Well, like, look at us during the political aspect of everything, right? Like, we knew what was truth based on the information that we could find.
Yeah.
With the information you find depends on who leaks it and who lets it out.
Yeah.
Right? If they don't want you to know certain things, you're not going to know certain things. Still waiting on those 9/11 files to come out.
The Epstein files that are never going to be released, too. Yeah.
Well, you know why. It's all of them. It's, it's everybody. It's all the world leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It would be complete chaos the whole world over.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about, like, discernment is, what kind of basis do you have to determine whether this thing or this person is good or bad?
Okay. So this is one of my favorite arguments. I have debates, whatever you want to call it, for the longest time. Even in my prodigal sons. Like I said, I've never lost my faith.
Mm-hmm. But you wandered. You wandered.
I wandered worse than the rest of them. I got stories.
Like a Forrest Gump length, like, wander across the country.
Kind of.
Yeah.
One of my favorite debates on this topic is, if you don't base your morals and values off of God's teachings, what do you base them off of? And people will be like, well, I don't need a book to be a good person. I know not to kill people. Okay. Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. So, where did that come from?
Right. And just because you're not religious and your family's not religious doesn't mean someone in your family line wasn't religious and passed those morals and values down.
Yep.
And so for saying that you don't believe in the Bible, but you have morals and values, well, morals and values become subjective at that point, right? The only way for them to stay objective is to have a firm foundation that everyone agrees this is the foundation, right? Then you can't deviate from it because it's absolute.
Yeah.
It's objective at that point. You can't. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of my favorite things is they're like, well, you know, I have good intuition. Well, Hitler had intuition. You know what I mean?
Dang.
So like everyone has intuition.
Yeah.
You know, I guess a more common name nowadays would be Netanyahu has intuition.
And we're going to get kicked off every platform for that. I will remember to blink that out when the time comes. But
no. No, we got to leave it. I'm coming out swinging.
But we refer to James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Mm-hmm. He will not rebuke you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, it's who knows the truth? Who is the bottom, the...
Yeah.
The dominator of it all, right? It is God.
Yeah, he'll give you what you're asking for. If, I mean, not like, Lord, I need $1 million. You know what I mean? But like, he's not a genie. You don't get three wishes type of thing. But like, if you're truly asking for like positive things.
And that's the thing too.
You won't always get the answer you want either. Mm-hmm. But you always get an answer.
Yep.
You know,
it's the answer you need, not always the one you want.
Correct.
Yep.
And so for me, one thing that I've been asking God to break me, completely destroy me, build me back up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very painful process. And I'm very anxious.
Don't say that aloud. The devil's listening, Tad.
Well, hold on. I'm anxious in the sense of like, kind of like I was telling you yesterday. Like, I feel like, in a sense, spiritually, I'm in purgatory in a cannon waiting to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I know what my spiritual calling is. I just feel like I'm in limbo right now waiting for it because it's not quite here yet.
Yeah.
And that's because I know I'm not quite ready for it yet.
Right, right.
But man, is it painful getting ready for it.
Well, that's how I feel too, like in our quest to have more kids. It just hasn't been a super easy road so far, to be quite honest. But it's like you want it so bad. But again, every time it doesn't happen, it's like, it's just not time yet. It's just not time yet.
Yeah.
And choosing that to like shape you and transform you instead of being like, well, why not? Wah.
Yeah.
Why me?
Well, God basically gives you three answers. Yeah. Yes, no, or not yet.
Yep. And it's not yet. It's the soon. the mm-hmm. soon of it all. The Chosen is a great show, by the way, if any of y'all are curious. So I think a big problem now is, like, you can read headlines all day and still not be discerning of things. I finally just went through and, like, unfollowed a ton of news accounts because I can't be in it anymore. Because it makes you feel things, right? It gives you emotions. And what happens is, like, your emotions start to take lead. And that's not the thing that we should trust.
Yeah, our emotions again, aren't everything. I don't care. Until the government's knocking on my door.
Yeah.
I don't care. And even then, I'll probably just read scripture to them.
Yeah.
Get in the van. No, how about you come in and sit down. Let's read some scripture.
So then, how do you, I mean, to help people, because I think discernment is a very hard thing to just, like, I know discernment now. I can pick out what's true and what's not. How do you personally tell when something is just information versus real revelations that are supposed to be told to you?
Jeez, man, that's tough.
Isn't it?
Because I don't think discernment's anything you can learn from other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's your own trials and tribulations. I think it's your own experiences, getting burned enough by people, by things. I believe God gives everyone discernment. Not everyone uses it.
Yeah.
And with today, like you were saying, we live in the loudest generation ever.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Everyone's in an echo chamber trying to get their voice heard to the other echo chambers, mm-hmm. but don't want to hear your echo chamber.
Right.
And so it's a lot of information overload constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intentional. It's to make everyone anxious. It's to make everyone on edge.
Yeah.
These people are protesting No King's protest. Like, the very next day, they're complaining about something else
that
came up or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, how ironic is that? No kings, but, like, you're able to protest.
Yeah. And now they're all like, feed us kings. Where's our SNAP benefits? Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I think one instance, though, of, like, actual understanding of discernment and, like, an example I have of it was with Charlie Kirk's assassination and, like, the aftermath of it. I am more on the side of Candace Owens than I am of anybody else.
Yeah.
And that's only because, like, scientifically, a lot of the facts don't add up.
Yeah.
And the people telling you to ignore those facts.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing. I have a problem with. So, look, I don't know if a single thing Candace is saying
allegedly,
is true or not.
Allegedly, all of this.
Don't know a single thing that she's saying is true or not. Mm-mm. But she's the only one still asking questions.
Yeah. Who's, like, ever asked the questions.
Yeah.
You know, you've had, like, Tucker
a little bit, Megan a little bit.
But being kind of coy about it, right. They're not full on, like, doing what Candace is doing. But I've seen so many people.
I mean, she's straight up telling us that the French president's wife is his dad. And
which I don't not believe. Why is there not? Why aren't they suing her for defamation if that's not true?
Just a cease and desist.
Yeah. She's like, all you have to do is provide this kind of test and we'll all know for sure.
Yeah.
But no. So anyway, I just, that was a good real world example, I feel like. And there were so many influencers in the political sphere that I was following before that. Mm-hmm. And then they all came out and were just like, pro apple juice this, pro apple juice that. And I was like, you took that check. And even if they weren't taking a check, who are they working for? Because why aren't you asking questions?
Revelation 2:9.
Yes.
Revelation 2:9.
Yes. Put it in their head. Boo.
Revelation 2:9. Open your Bibles. Go read
it. So it's a constant thing. And I think if you are getting overwhelmed, turn it off and open a Bible.
Yeah.
That's all. That's a really good way to find
one thing I've noticed too is, I mean, I'm sure it's happened with you and stuff, but, like, a lot of the times I open the Bible to exactly where I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the times I won't even really pick it up to read a specific book.
Yeah.
And I'll just flip it open and it's exactly the message I needed to read for that day.
That's God moving the pages.
Yeah.
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 He's showing you what you need.
Yeah.
I found another really
interesting... It gives me chills thinking about it. Like, seriously, how much he interacts.
Seriously.
Like, it really is wild.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to sit up here and be like, the Lord has done all these things, but, like, he's done all these things.
You know? But, like, I'd be lying if I told you anything differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, like, one thing I've been doing, which I got from Blake Guiche, who's a Speakeasy podcast, She has always said, she rebranded. It's now the Speakeasy. But yeah, used to be Crappy Christian Podcast. She says that every morning she gets up and, you know, before she gets on her phone and does all that stuff, she asks Jesus to get in her head before she does. So to say, you know, hey, Jesus, get in my head before I do today. It's meaning like, let your words speak through me as opposed to my insecurities, my anxieties, my mm-hmm. worries. You know, it's just trying to get that voice in more than the doubts and the negatives and the darkness. Yeah. So that's been something I'm trying to do as well that's helped. Yeah.
I just keep asking to be a vessel.
Yeah.
Use me however he sees fit. Yeah. I just want to do my part.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian and get there and he'll be like, dude, you sucked. Like, well, you know?
Yep.
So,
yeah.
And you're not judged by your merits and stuff like that. But like I said,
Why not do the best you can? I feel the calling.
I feel the duty.
Yeah. And why not?
So.
Because like, you're not going to get anything negative out of it. It's all going to add to your life.
Yeah. I mean, and just.
The negative adds to
your life. Much our life has changed just in the last 3 months.
That's our testimony alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild.
I know. So that's why too we felt a calling to like really come back and like change this podcast and do this because
it's still Untethered Minds
because
we're still breaking you away from the brainwashing
and
the worldly stuff and everything like that.
We're just taking it further than just, you know, breaking away from the narrative, but breaking away from the secular world.
Well, so what we were was expose the truth, expose evil. Yeah. You know, look at all this evil going on. But now it's going to be like, hey, look at that evil over there. Look what this good can do to overcome that evil.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so
this is the ultimate truth.
Well, yeah, it's leading people to the light in a sense.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's leading people, like you said, the ultimate truth.
Yeah.
You know,
well, because confusion, distraction, like these are the enemy's favorite weapons against us.
Yeah.
And, like, raise your hand if you've been distracted at all the last 5 years.
Squirrel.
Yeah. Like, the last 5 years have been so hard.
I mean, literally, squirrel. They killed a squirrel before.
They did.
Before the election.
Our world is so nuts.
Peanut.
How sad. But again, it's, you know, it's distracting us from all the things. In Genesis 3, Satan didn't deny God's word. He just distorted it. And that's the same strategy today, is that we distort truth until believers start doubting it. And it's a very dangerous thing. And I saw a theory, and I don't even know if this is a theory, if it's actually true, but like really old information on the web is starting to be deleted. So, like, a lot of Wikipedia pages, if you go to, like, click on links to certain, like, older pages...
Well, that's been
going
on.
They're not around anymore, but they're literally deleting our history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went to go look up something about the Rothschilds, like, a year ago. And it was gone.
Yep.
Because, like, oh, what... I forget exactly the whole family line and heritage and how that came about and stuff. They changed it.
Yeah.
100% changed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they just get rid of it all together?
It basically says, like... Mayor Rothschild started it and blah 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 blah, and like his sons, and but like that's the extent. It doesn't give any other information anymore.
Yep.
So yeah, it's wild. Also, for clarity for the platforms and everything, we aren't anti-Jew. We are anti-Semitic, but just like every group, there's evil people in every group. Every group of people.
Yeah, it's more the institution behind that country.
It's the Zionists who run the country.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not. Well, yeah. It's not the people that are just practicing. Which actually, technically, if you really want to get down into like a biblical breakdown of it, the true Jews today are the church. The Church of Christ. That is the state of Israel. Yeah. Is the Church of Christ.
Yeah.
Not of Latter-day Saints.
No.
But the church is now God's chosen people. It's not the Jews anymore. That's the old covenant. That's the Old Testament. The new covenant is with anyone that believes that Jesus was the Messiah and died for your sins. That's the church. Right? Jews and Gentiles. And now we're technically all Israel if we follow that. So the only practicing Jews that are true to Judaism is what the Bible says, or Jewishness is what the Bible says, or Messianic Jews that believe that he was the Messiah and died.
Yeah.
So we're not anti any group.
Don't get it twisted.
We're not anti any group. We're anti evil.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying, hey, you're evil, we hate you, we're like, hey, you're evil, repent, we love you.
Biblically accurate.
Revelation 2:9.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Well, and that's the whole thing, is like, the devil's goal isn't necessarily to make us sin, to make us evil beings. It's to make it's you distracted enough so that you stop hearing from God. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. What do you think are like the noisiest areas of your life right now?
Right now?
Yeah. Traffic.
Traffic. Snowbirds. Traffic. Looking for my chapstick.
Snowbirds, if you don't know, are all the old people who come to Arizona during the winter because it's like really warm here. Like
15 miles an hour under the speed limit.
Yeah, we live right on the edge of like Old People Central. Yeah, no offense, old people. But lots of slow drivers.
Yeah.
At all hours of the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be real. They're all in bed by 6 o'clock, so.
Yeah.
They're off the road by then.
Or just the fact of like, why are there so many people on the road at 2 o'clock on like a Wednesday?
Yeah, I've never seen so many people that don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's kind of ironic with like me and what I'm doing now, because I kind of have like an open schedule, you know, kind of work when I work and I kind of don't when I don't.
Entrepreneurhood.
But I think the noisiest part for me right now is shedding all of my old habits, shedding my worldly habits of things that have gotten me through, whether it's coping mechanisms or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider myself an angry person, but if you drove around with me, you would think I got anger issues like crazy.
Our poor transmission.
Truck. I'm not even that, just verbally in that sense. Yeah, I'll be nicer on the truck.
It's an adventure. But, going to church every Sunday.
Yeah, today was fine.
Yeah, today you were better.
Yeah, see?
You're very calm today.
Baby steps. I'm getting better. I think that's the biggest issue for me, is stepping into this new role, this new chapter in my life, and shedding all of the old me, in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's like when Simon became Peter. It's like when Saul became Paul, right? I don't have a new name yet.
You want a new name, Tef?
No, I like my name. But in that same concept, right? Like, I haven't fully shed the old me yet.
Yeah.
Still, and that's why I say I kind of feel like I'm in purgatory.
Yeah.
Again, I have to write down these verses so I can say them verbatim and actually give like
memorize
which they
and
are
that,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a verse that talks about God is a refiner of silver. If you know anything about refining precious metals, you can't just leave it in the fire. You actually have to watch it burn out all the impurities and wait till that perfect time to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that fire,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm like, yeah, take me out. I'm ready to go. Child and I'm like, fire. I'm still bubbling.
Yeah.
You know, I've still got some things I got in. Right. They need to be burned out.
Right.
And I think for me right now, it's the fire. It's the noise.
Yeah.
I see everything. I'm very cognitive of everything that I'm doing wrong and that I need to change. And that's why I feel guilty all the time.
Yeah.
But feeling guilty also helps me change my character, change my mindset.
Yeah.
I try to replace every cuss word with something else now.
Yeah. Let's run that back. We have...
cheese and crackers.
Well, excuse you. It started cheese and rice because we were using the Lord's name in vain.
Way too much.
And so it became cheese and rice. And then you guys started cheese and crackers out of that. And then Oh My Gatto is
Oh my
one
gatto.
Of my favorites.
Oh My Gatto.
Lately, he's just been going, Oh My Cat.
Oh My Gatto, My Cat.
Turn into songs. We use Scheiße, which is the German translation
but it makes us feel better.
Oh my gosh,
it's not English.
You know, yeah. There's just a list of things that we use instead that feels better. But you know, it just like it all comes back to freaking fracking. Yeah, I use that a lot. Freaking fracking. Yep. Yeah. It's very funny. But like in all of this,
bringing back all the kindergarten G-rated cussing.
Well, and it's good for our kids too, you know. Like I'm glad our 11-year-old isn't hearing us just swearing up the wall anymore. In the car, she hears it a little bit, but I hope she sees that change too. And I hope by the time that we have more little chittens running around,
I stop giving people the one finger salute while driving.
You mean your accidental pointer finger or your...
I'm just letting them know they're number one.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what it is.
I think for me, the, you know, still kind of sticking on the noise aspect. The hardest part for me is, like you were saying, a lifetime of doing things a certain way. You know, and me being a conspiracy theorist since 2006, when nobody was a conspiracy theorist. Like, you were called crazy by everybody.
Right.
And I've been saying I told you so on a lot of things for damn near two decades. And so with me, I need to realize that it's not a I told you so type of situation. It's let me help enlighten others.
Right.
And I don't mean that I have all the answers. I'll never say I have all the answers. Right. Because I'm always still learning.
Right.
Like, a year ago, we were gung-ho on one political adversary
or person.
And now we're like, well, there's a lot of eyebrow raising going on.
Yeah.
Like, well, and I can't admit that the left was right about Trump, because I still think that they were wrong.
Yeah.
But he's doing things I don't agree with. And so, like, I feel like, and this is my old world me, the left is at the bottom of the IQ totem pole. They are. Like, what more at this point do you need to see? And honestly, I kind of take a step back and look at both sides fighting, and I'm just like, y'all are all dumb.
The difference is God.
Yeah.
And understanding, like, you know, culture says find your truth, but like Jesus is the truth. Like Jesus equals truth.
And I've always hated that word, phrase, your truth. There is no your truth. Truth is absolute.
Right.
Regardless of what it is, truth is absolute.
Right. Well, and people are seeking information, but they're not trying to like seek God. They're
seeking information, but they're not seeking understanding. And understanding is everything comes from God.
Period. Like, he is the truth. And when you walk with the truth, the lies lose their pull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not because like you have more arguments, you have better answers for people, but because you have peace.
Yeah.
In knowing and understanding.
And that's why I think Charlie was so masterful of the way pivotal. That he did everything, was because he was at peace with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that confidence because God was speaking through him on a lot of things.
Right.
No, I'm not sitting here trying to put Charlie up on a pulpit, but man, like, there will never be another Charlie Kirk.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter how good someone is at being, you know, a communicator or anything like that. That man spoke with so much resolve.
A beautiful example of faith.
And so much
discernment.
Discernment that it's a tough act to follow.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really is.
Because that's the thing, too, is, like, truth and, like, the word of God is not always kind.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of hard truths that have to be delivered.
Yeah.
But it's because he loves you that he wants you to understand those truths for what they are, even if they're tough.
Yeah. Like the trans stuff.
Yes. Because, again, the truth isn't that there's something wrong with those people, because God created them exactly how they're supposed to be.
Right.
It's that their brains have been wired by someone, some trauma,
God
something.
Made me this way. No, you made yourself that way.
Yeah.
You misgendered me. You misgendered yourself.
Yeah.
Like, don't say God made a mistake and then say that you had to make the corrective measures to do it, but God made you that way.
Right.
No.
No. Wrong.
It's kind of like the video that we posted, or that you posted, about dogs and God.
Your theory,
right?
My video.
But basically, so
200,000 views later.
Yeah. So, I believe that dogs were given to us by God because, you know, I hate all the people. English wasn't a language. I don't care. Look,
how do you God, say that about other languages?
God spelled backwards is dog, and so my theory is that dogs were given to us by God so we may see how we should be with God, right? in the eyes of a dog, we are God.
Yeah.
Right? They worship us. They wait for us. Our dogs specifically bow to us every single time we walk in the door yeah. when we're gone for a little yeah. bit. Like, they literally greet us and bow.
And, like, sleep by the door when we're gone.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
Right. Just waiting. And sometimes you have to discipline them by giving them a little smack. But then they always come back with humility and humbleness and, like, their yeah. tail between their legs.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
We are the dogs for God in yeah, a sense. Like yeah. that's how we're supposed to be.
Yeah. Unconditional love.
Unconditional love, unconditional faith, unconditional loyalty. No matter what's thrown our way,
yeah.
we are supposed to worship God unconditionally, mm-hmm. just like dogs do for us. And, you know, someone's like, well, what about the dogs that maul people to death? There are no bad dogs, just bad owners.
Yeah.
Right? And same thing's true with people.
We're not inherently evil.
Right. I do not believe. I Mm-mm. fail to ever, ever, ever believe that people are inherently evil. Because yeah. if we are made in God's image, we have to be inherently good.
Right.
We have to be.
Right.
It's different circumstances throughout life, whether it was upbringing, situational lifestyles, mm-hmm. you know, or even like mental disorders. Based on the food and everything that we eat now,
yep.
the vaccines yeah. that are given to us, all that stuff, it's all byproduct. There are evil people in the world,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't born evil.
No.
No one's it's born evil.
Something else.
But we're all inherently good until outside forces change it.
Yeah, until they disturb your peace.
Right.
Well, and that's like I was going to go into next is like, how do we stay grounded in such a noisy world, in a world where like evil is around every corner? Like, how do you avoid these things? Because the volume doesn't drop, but like your spirit, you can try to tune to a different frequency, right?
It's yeah. like, well, I think that's just
what environment are you allowing yourself to be in?
I think that's just unplugging and removing yourself from situations that mm-hmm. aren't good for you, that don't
deciding what gets
you.
Your attention,
right? And so, like, for us, both of us really wanted to do the podcast for quite some time before we even met each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had one for a very short time with a friend.
Always wanted to expose the truth. You know, before you and I met, I had a separate Twitter account that was all about conspiracy stuff. And mm-hmm. I grew that huge. I grew that to like 20,000 in like 6 months. Just massively, just because I'm calling
exactly.
things
you
out.
You do that on socials.
Right, right, right. We had to pull away a couple of times with Untethered Minds. This last one being the longest hiatus that we've taken. But there's a few times where we got to stop putting the pressure on us to get an episode out a week or every 2 weeks or whatever. But we've had to take a step back and kind of retool, refocus.
Yeah. Well, because was it serving us at that point?
Right.
What was it bringing into our lives other than the stress of thinking we have to post? And then, well, what do we post? And for yeah. a long time, we were stuck on like, we're going to do a whole episode about national parks and conspiracies and missing 411 and all that stuff. And like, yeah, it's a cool idea, but like, what does that add?
Nothing.
It's just regurgitating information from other people. It's yeah. not a lived experience.
Well, like you were saying, if we started the podcast today without any of the past,
yeah.
you wouldn't have done any of the stuff that we've done.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't go that route. It would just be this route.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree to an extent, but I also feel like we did what we needed to do in that moment.
For sure. It was what we knew to do.
Right. Yeah. And for me personally, I've always felt a deep calling to mentor, to guide, mm-hmm. to coach, to teach, whatever. Yeah. You know, especially being 40 now, like, I've lived enough.
Right, right, right.
We're like,
yeah.
I've learned a few tricks
you
along
know a
the
few
way.
Right? Yeah.
The 30s is a weird age. Sorry.
Great, thanks. just started that decade.
But like the 30s is a weird age because like you have more discernment than a teenager and then someone in your 20s. But like to people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, you're still a kid.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Like,
I do. I get, yeah.
Very
even
much
my
so.
Parents.
Well, like a guy I was talking to today about the business aspect of yeah. it. He's 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
But he started the conversation, think I'm like 15, 20 yeah. years younger than he is.
So, 'cause it looked good.
Yeah, you know? But it's just, I think like at 40, you kind of hit that mark where like
mm-hmm.
the older people actually start taking you seriously. Because mm-hmm. now like, okay, like, you've paid taxes for a while, you've done the things, yeah, you've had a career, you know, all that kind of stuff. And in 30s, I feel like it's really defining who you're going to be the rest of your adulthood.
Yeah.
Like, your 20s is defining what direction you're going.
Yeah.
But your 30s is like... who you want to be. Your 30s is like really doing refining.
Yeah. Well, like...
The impurities.
I feel like I'm finally at the point where, like, I'm healthy enough in my brain, in my body, in the understanding of who I am and, like, who our creator is, that now I can start expanding that reach. Right. You know, like, next step is having kids, because I feel like that's a purpose that is, like, my purpose. And it's very hard. Yeah. Yep. It's very hard that we're not there yet. But in the process, I'm being shaped to do things, you know, in terms of, like,
no, not yet. Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah. But, like, my soon. Our daughter, my stepdaughter, technically, like, there's a lot of work involved in that. And it's hard work, man. But, like,
that's the trauma from her mom and stuff.
Yeah. But, like, how that has been shaping me, especially lately, has been so different. And, like, getting involved in our church in certain ways that are really, like, feel good. Like, that's coming up. Like, I feel like I'm actually able to give back now and, like, become the person I want to. Like, I've known who I want to be, but now it's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm being taken seriously at work for the first time in my life, and I'm actually, like, happy with where I am with work, and my family sees me at a different level. It just, it feels like I can change things finally.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still looked at like a kid.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well.
Because I know I'm doing the work. I know that, you know, positive change is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like kind of at that point of, for you, I'm a couple steps behind you just because I'm basically starting over.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're
like, you've been building up.
Yeah. You had a massive tear down in your 30s.
I had a massive, dude.
And I think we talked about
I've had a massive tear down in the last 5 months.
But, like, even... We'll get into, like, more personal stuff as these podcast episodes go on. We're, like, an hour and a half already, and there's so much, like, we will share, though, because I think it is important.
We're just so excited to talk to you. We haven't talked to you in so long.
I know. And there's so much wisdom. So, like, if nothing else, and we can share that to you guys who listen, like, that is amazing by us. And I think we were supposed to gain this platform, build this platform up to where by the time we come back now, we're speaking to a big audience. We're not starting at ground one again. People trust us. And I hope you continue that trust, because this is, like, the most sincere we've ever been about what we talk about. Like, actually.
Which doesn't take away how sincere we were then.
No, but this is, like, I didn't even know that this level of sincerity existed before.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that this version of myself could exist before.
Yeah.
So I've lost my train of thought on all that. But, like, continue to trust us. If that's where you've been and you're kind of like, what are they doing now? Like, they're just talking about God. Like, this is so... Just trust us.
Yeah.
Trust. Because we have a lot to share. And
if you don't trust us, we'll give you scripture to go look up to verify what we're saying. We will have that
conversation too. But, like, you know, I don't think... either of us are afraid to say, I don't know about things, you know, like, we are not afraid to.
I would rather tell someone I don't know than give them false information.
For sure. Or
and I've something always up, felt why? That way. And, you know, people will say, well, then that's your truth. Well, then truth is absolute, you know, so I would rather all day say, I don't know. And then, hey, let's learn together. If you have a question and we can't answer it, let's figure it out together, and we'll do like a little video on it, a series on it, whatever it is. But yeah, I think this is kind of a perfect invitation for anyone who's curious spiritually in some way. Yeah. Because in a way, even though it's kind of like my return home, in a way, this is kind of our beginning of our journey.
Season two.
Yeah, season two in more ways than one.
We never knew we would get to season two.
Yeah, season two in more ways than one, right? So that first part of our lives was the first season, right? And now we're going into the next season.
Yeah, what a wild 3 years
it's been. Yeah, isn't that
Can you believe we've only been together for 3 years?
No.
Like, together, no, you know?
It feels from like
we started dating.
Our whole lives.
3 years and a couple months. Yeah. It's crazy. It's really crazy. Yeah. I think a big part of it with discernment and how to, like, keep your sanity with all the craziness and evil going on, is really surrounding yourself with people who believe as you believe, who encourage, right, who challenge you.
Right.
Because iron sharpens iron. Well, that is Proverbs 27:17. That is not just a thing. That is in the Bible. And yeah, I think it's really important. How many people have we had to cut out the last 3 years even?
Yeah, a lot.
And like things that, I don't know, yeah, if I was a weaker person who didn't believe that everything happens for a reason, I would be devastated. And I don't know, maybe it sounds like I'm a biatch if I'm like, I don't care, you know, I haven't really thought about that person. But like, it's accepting it's God's will.
We've had to cut out some people that are fairly close.
You shouldn't have to ever cut out. Right. Put it that way.
Fairly close. You know, so close, there's some similar DNA. <You know? laughs> But those people, like, God will have them come back into our lives whenever he sees fit, whenever, yeah, they've made the changes, you know. And it's not like we're like, oh, you're not living your life right, you're cut off. It's just, hey, look, your life, your message does not match and align with our life and our message and where we're going.
And
right,
you're
now
allowed to have boundaries,
right? And so on that topic, I feel like ever since we've done that, everything has just been so much better.
Yep.
And not just with that particular group, but with all of them.
Yep.
You know, with everyone that, you know, we've either given boundaries or we've shown grace to. You know, not that you guys really knew too much about our parenting situation, but we had our daughter 50% of the time. We started going to church 2 months ago,
mm-hmm,
and her mom basically just said, she's yours.
Yeah.
I'm taking a leave of absence.
A month ago, yeah.
For however, yeah, long.
And we were literally having conversations of like, gosh, we really wish that she could be here with us at church every week because this is would be so good for her.
I was literally about to email her and say, hey, do you mind if we pick her up on, yeah, Sundays? And
yeah.
That's another thing. I can't even call her or text her because she's got me blocked on everything.
I have to email.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, she only contacts Ashley, which is
I don't even know how much we can talk about this legally. But,
Well, she broke all the legalities of it, so it's not even on us. It's her.
Yeah.
She broke all the lines of communication.
Yeah.
And like, because we got married.
Because you moved on and became a better person. Crazy.
Yeah.
But that's just on boundaries and getting things out of your life that aren't healthy for you. And like I was saying earlier, now our child is growing in many ways. I mean, mm-hmm, we actually have the time to like fully parent now.
Yeah.
Which has come with a lot of challenges
and frustrations.
But
we pray a lot.
Yeah. But can you not say that it's completely grown us into different people?
Yeah,
and like 100%. How much our temperaments have changed, yeah, and the way we talk, and yeah, you know, we're very good about being like, hey, you're kind of being really hard this week, like cool, yeah, off, let me take the burden a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's been a really good thing that's grown us as, yeah, a couple, as a family.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But I did want to read, and we're not just cherry picking verses, by the way. Like when we speak verses into this podcast, know that like there is a context, and like, yeah, we're not just, oh, this applies because of X, Y, and Z. Like, no,
well,
really.
If you guys want more information, I'm more than down to do like a mini series, couple, yeah, 1 minute videos of breaking, yeah, down scripture a little,
you
bit more
could,
and stuff.
But they talk about boundaries.
I'm
going
to do it whether you guys want me to or not.
Yeah, there you go. Content is content. But we talk about like boundaries being biblical. And in Luke chapter 10 verse, let's see, I'll read it from 8. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, because he's talking about sending his disciples out to, mm-hmm, preach the word of Jesus and to get people to believe. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our, mm-hmm, feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. And that's, again, like, you will tell anybody certain things that they won't agree with. And like, you don't have to sit there and continue to hear, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, we don't believe you, you're wrong, this is my truth, this is what's right. You are free to walk away.
Yeah.
And that's not just true with people. It's true with the media you're seeing. It's true with the stories that are on your phone and bombarding your life and making you feel just totally hopeless.
Yeah.
How many people feel hopeless looking at the, yeah, news? You, yeah, know, like, you can turn that off. change who you follow, change the information that you actually absorb, you know? Like, I think there's a large part of spirituality and like coming to that peace that has to be practiced every day. You have to read the Bible. You have to sit in stillness. You have to rest. You have to pray. You know, it's not just something that's going to come to you naturally. Like, you have to practice it like it's a muscle. Mm-hmm. And every time that I start to fear things, I start to get worried or anxious, I just go, hey, God's got you. And it, like, brings me down. And you do have to tell yourself, like, actually, chill the F out. But you can do it. It's possible. You just have to try, like anything
in life.
Chill the faith out. Yeah. I love that. So let's close things out a little bit, because we're running
on like 2 hours now.
That's okay. We're making up for lost time. Yeah. I just think that when you start living in truth, peace becomes your default.
Yeah.
It gets easier when the voices get loud to turn them down now, because I feel like I have a basis of truth. I have a basis of love, of hope, of where I'm going in life that I can sit on and stand on. A firm foundation, if you if you will. And I urge all of you to find that.
Yeah, I kind of don't really care what the government's doing anymore.
No.
Like I said, until they're knocking on my door, there's a power outage.
Yeah. But in that case, we have lots of water. We have lots of food that never goes bad. Propane. Guns.
I wouldn't call myself a prepper, but I've been preparing.
Yeah. We have stuff, put it that way. It was funny recently.
I've been preparing for like a decade.
And a few years ago, I was like, Tavis, stop. Like, you're scaring me. Let's not buy this stuff anymore. And then, like, a couple months ago, I was like, you want to give me a couple extra clips and we can buy some more rounds?
Couple magazines.
Just in case, you know? Because, like, fear makes people loud.
Yeah.
It does. And, like, faith is the only thing that can still that.
And now we just have to be louder with faith. I got a really good feeling about this, taking the direction that we're taking with the podcast. I feel like we have that reach already, like you were saying. And I feel like, yeah, we're probably going to lose some followers over this. And that's okay, you know?
Godspeed.
Hey, our arms are always welcome.
Yeah.
We're always willing to wrap our arms around you in a sense of that aspect. You know, if you ever want to seek us out, great. If you ever have questions, great. And again, we don't have all the answers.
No.
We can just tell you our experience, what we're going through, what has helped us, what we've done to overcome different things.
And we can sit together and try to get to the bottom of whatever that question is. Like, there's so much learning, you know.
Yeah.
We're always on the side of Jesus, but it's a very complex thing. And I don't know if you can bring up something that we don't understand or don't know. Like, I would love to learn. So I know it's the same for you.
I'm thirsty for knowledge.
You are. You did. You are. You did.
Yeah.
It's getting to that like almost 2 hour mark where my brain's starting to like, rah, we don't want to work anymore. Yeah. But yeah, I guess I'm trying to think of what's the best verse to leave this on. I mean, it's a short one, but Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Meaning, when your mind is set on Jesus, his truth, his love, his perfection and everything, like, that's when you achieve peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. You're going to overcome a lot of things in life and be up against walls that you don't know how to climb. But, like, you just have to keep going, you know, and you have to keep believing that, like, there is hardship, but it's there for a reason. And like Tavis was saying, if you choose to learn from it instead of let it destroy you, oh my gosh, the change you're going to see. It's beautiful.
Well, that's like everything bad that happens in life. It either defines you or breaks you, right? You either overcome it and become a better person because of it, or you succumb to whatever horrible thing that is, and you're now in this bad funk.
Right.
You can't get out of.
And like, it's okay not to be okay. That's a huge thing that we learned from Jesus and from the Bible, is that it's okay not to be okay, but it's what you decide to do from there. You don't stay in
that.
It's
not okay to stay okay. That's
it's not okay to stay in not okayness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not okay to not. It's not okay to stay in not okay. There you go.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be okay, but if you're just going to stay in purgatory.
Yeah.
You're never going to get out.
Yeah. And this is coming from people who have been through it we may not look like it, or like we've shared enough of our stories for you to understand what we've been through, and like maybe we'll get there in time. But again, trust us.
Yeah. My brain has been destroyed and rebuilt so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through all kinds of secular nonsense, through horrible relationships, through actual like physical trauma, through so much emotional trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen. So, yeah, I think we've done enough talking for like a few days.
I don't know, man.
I could keep going
for the next like 4 hours.
Really hot in this room and like
all the lights on us.
Uncomfy in the chair and stuff. Like I'm ready to move, but we'll be back for sure. And I think that
we put our studio to use.
We did.
Well, I mean, I've been using it.
Yeah, it's like our office, but I think too that this is much more. We're much more passionate about this now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were really passionate about all the conspiracy theory stuff. And, like, that's not to say that we won't still talk about a lot of what's going on in our culture.
We're passionate for truth, and now we just realize what the ultimate truth is.
Right. And there's a lot of it that lines up exactly with how our culture is, with where our news is in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we will still be making plenty of those comparisons and talking about the world as a whole. So you won't lose that. I was even saying, like, a while back when we were talking about revamping this, we could literally go through every episode we've already done and do it again, but just through more of a biblical lens.
Mm-hmm.
And it would work. Perfectly still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're not losing our essence, but we're trying to just bring something new, bring something better and brighter to our platform.
Hope.
Yeah.
Rather than just pointing out the bad.
Because, oh my gosh, is it dark out there?
It's dark.
It's so dark.
I just want to hold a couple lanterns, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Holding a couple lanterns. So I think we're good.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all ever have questions, like we said, DMs are always open. You can find our personal pages if you wish as well. Yeah. They are very easy to find. I'm not going to like list them in the description or anything.
Yeah, we're talking to you, Splody.
Yeah. If you want to try, if you want to try, go for it. We're not on private. We'd love to talk to you. Follow us on socials if you're not already. I feel like I have to plug that. I'll put our TikTok or Instagram. We don't really use X, so I don't think I'll put it up there. Oh, and I was going to say one more thing. If you are listening on any platform right now, I would absolutely love if you gave us a rating. Those help a lot, too. I mean, we would hope.
We got a lot of hate ratings.
Oh, I love it, though. I'm like, publicity is publicity. But, I mean, we want to know. Be honest. But that helps a lot, too. We thank you guys so much for being here for our return episode. I promise we won't go on hiatus again for...
Yeah, no, we're going to do this
frequently. This is a thing. I definitely think we have the brain capacity for it now. So with that said, we hope y'all have an amazing rest of your day, night, morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye.